You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. Gang's all here, ready to go on this Thursday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Let me give you the breaking news. Adam Schefter just tweeting, the Falcons are shutting down their facility after multiple positive tests. Falcons had four positive tests this morning, according to sources. We don't know if those are coaches, people in the front office, or players. The Falcons play the Vikings coming up this weekend. We'll keep an eye on this. Derrick Henry, the Titans running back, fresh off the win against the Buffalo Bills, will join us later on. David Pollack, former college football player, in fact, a future Hall of Famer, is going to join us. We'll talk about what's going on with the Alabama-Georgia game and Coach Saban testing positive. We'll have a poll question, play of the day, stat of the day, and you can take part if you like. You can watch on Peacock, and you can download the app for free and watch all 3 hours. You can also listen on our 362 radio affiliates around the country, and of course, those on Chat Row, moderated by Tyler. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address, dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at dpshow. Once again, McLevin will have a poll question coming up, but when it comes to college football coaches, Nick Saban is larger than life, and in a sport where players come and go, Saban is one of the cornerstones, and that's why the news that he tested positive for the coronavirus felt so impactful. There have been coaches in the college ranks and the pros who have tested positive. Players, of course, have tested positive. But Saban, it feels like, is above the fray. Programs ebb and flow, but not Alabama. Since he took over, they've been in that top spot or challenging for that top spot every year. He has the answers, but his diagnosis is just another subtle reminder the virus doesn't care who you are. Saban said he's asymptomatic for now, and hopefully he stays that way. Alabama has Georgia this weekend. With Saban not coaching, the line went from -6, I think, down to -4, -4.5. That's how much of an impact Coach Saban has. And it might go down even further than that. But, you know, Saban is as respected as any coach in football or any other sport. So it's going to be interesting to see how he's involved in this game, because right up till 90 minutes before the kickoff, he has to cut off communications with his sideline, his coaching staff. Nothing during the game. But also, I'm curious to see how Coach Saban uses his platform to share this experience with the coronavirus, hopefully educating us as the sports world and everyone else continues to fight this virus. But Coach Saban, and I think he was being interviewed by Tom Rinaldi from the Mothership. And
of course he was.
Of course, Tom Rinaldi.
Something bad happens.
Yeah, Tom Rinaldi brought his piano probably with him to Tuscaloosa. But here is Coach Saban talking about getting ready for Georgia.
So we're still doing everything possible to get ready for the Georgia game. I'll have normal meetings tomorrow. Everything will be on Zoom. We'll continue to do this. You know, Sark's kind of filling in my absence for anything that needs coordinated in the office. But we're going to do everything we can to help our team.
I'm not sure how important the coach is during a game, because coaches will tell you, you do all your prep work to get ready for that Saturday, so then everybody knows their job and they try to carry that out. But if whenever a manager gets thrown out of a baseball game, nobody goes, oh my God, they don't have their manager. Football, Coach Saban, Coach Belichick, more hands-on, feels like that's a big loss. The fact that Coach Saban could affect the betting line by at least 2 to 2.5 points is pretty interesting. I don't know the last time a coach affected a betting line, and maybe Vegas could help us with that. Yes, McLevin?
Do they do that halftime speech in the movies? Like, is that a factor?
Well, I don't know what Coach Saban says at halftime.
Is everyone different?
I'm assuming he'll have a halftime speech. Are you talking about a fire and brimstone?
Yeah, like you know, Belichick's always awesome in the second half. Do they give like that speech? Does Saban address the team and get them fired up? Like, is that a factor in the betting line?
I don't think Belichick gives a rah-rah, this is a Hollywood-type speech. I think he just says, this is what we're going to do in the third quarter. Let's go get him. Who's with me? Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what he does. That his genius is not, and we're going to win. You know, we're going to win one for the Gipper. No, it's just, he just says, let me break this down and this is what we're going to do. And then let's go out and do it. And Coach Saban doesn't strike me as a fire and brimstone. I'm going to smash a locker or something or smash a mirror. Yeah, Paulie.
But this had to happen against Georgia week, not UT Chattanooga week, not Samford week. The timing was nuts.
Here's Coach Saban about what he'll be doing during the game.
Obviously, Sark has been a head coach before, and I'm not sure exactly how this is going to play out in terms of when the game comes, you know, whether I can have communication with people or not. So we'll have to research and sort of figure that one out. But we did have a plan for each coach on the staff as to what might happen. And we just got to go from there. Just like if we lose a player, we have to do the same thing.
So we'll talk to David Pollack, who played for Georgia. And he'll join us coming up a little bit here. Florida LSU was postponed. I know that there are people looking at the sky as falling in the SEC, but let's go back and look at the number of games that have been played. 26 of 28 games have been played, so two have been postponed. Those are pretty good odds right now. And they did build in a bye week to be able to reschedule a game. The SEC has done a pretty good job here. Baseball's about to finish the season and go to the World Series. The NBA did it. The NHL did it. We've had golf, although Dustin Johnson just tested positive. We played majors. We got the Masters coming up next month. The sports world has done a pretty good job here. I'm not all in on having fans go back. In fact, prior to when Dan Mullen said, I want 90,000 fans there for the game in the Swamp. And I go, no, you're not getting 90,000. Maybe 9,000, Dan. Maybe do a better job coaching. It doesn't matter how many fans are in the stands if you're coaching well. And, you know, they have that game against LSU. But as far as the players, it feels like everybody is doing a pretty good job. But this one with Coach Saban, the Florida LSU game postponed. And we'll find out, because I think there are more Alabama players that will be tested today, from what I'm told. And then I don't know if they're tested on Friday. Because there are certain teams, certain leagues, that they'll test on Friday. And as a source told me, that they didn't know if they would have players ready for Saturday until Saturday when they were playing their games. You might have other players on Alabama that test positive. If the head coach, the athletic director, were they in contact with other coaches? Anybody else asymptomatic here? Were they in close proximity to players as well? Those are the things to keep an eye on, because this game could be in jeopardy because of that. But Coach Saban testing positive, the athletic director at Alabama testing positive, what are the odds just those two? And Coach Saban is one of those on the field involved in drills. It's not like he's up on an ivory tower looking down. Yeah, Paulie.
Is there anything in sports you'd more want a camera on than Nick Saban with a sandwich and a Dr. Pepper in his living room for 4 hours watching his team helplessly, no matter what the outcome is? I would give anything. If you told me it was $49.95 pay-per-view to watch Nick Saban watch Alabama-Georgia, take my money. Take it.
I'm there with you. Yeah. Like, I'd be curious just if we got – okay, so we only got access to him when he's in his study.
Right.
Or his man cave there.
Audio, direct shot.
When That's it. Yeah. If his wife comes in or anybody comes in, then they're part of the reality show. If I could do that and have picture-in-picture with Coach Saban, and I would have the game sound down, and I would just be listening to Coach Saban yelling at the TV. McLevin, what kind of poll question do you have? I got to get to other headlines here, by the way. The Dodgers spank the Braves 15-3. Astros stay alive, still down 3-1. I love that these games are every day. I love it. And I've been watching it, the Dodgers starting earlier. And you didn't have to watch too. Like, I was bummed. It was 11-0 in the first inning. I go, what am I going to watch now? And you start flipping around. I watched Louisiana against Coastal Carolina on the mothership football for a little while. And then I waited for the Rays and the Astros. Yes, McLevin.
By the way, we're getting spoiled. No Thursday night
tonight. No, no football tonight.
Now, what am I going to do? Okay, so poll question. Is Nick Saban the most famous coach alive? If I put Nick Saban, Bill Belichick, and Coach K, are they all in the same exact level?
Coach K's more famous because he does commercials. This has been high level stuff for 30 years at the same place. And the fact that it's Coach K, it's Duke, basketball's worldwide. He's coached the Olympic team. I'd probably say Coach K is more famous. I think he's not afraid to be famous. I don't think Belichick tries to be famous, and I don't think Saban tries to be famous. They're famous because they win. Coach K wins, but he's also a good interview. He's available. You know, Saban's available usually twice a year. You know, he's very generous with his time when he comes on. But, you know, Belichick, he does a local hit in Boston, and he probably gets a paid local radio hit that he gets once a week. So I would say it's Coach K. What else do you have?
Wasn't Saban leaning towards TV, too? He likes TV, or is that Urban Meyer? I can't remember. Saban did a stint on...
Both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Game day. What sports coach is the most important? And I'm going to separate NFL and college football and then NBA and MLB. What is the most important job on game day? I've asked this before.
I guess it depends who the coach is. If you're saying Bill Belichick on game day, I'd say there's no more important coach on game day than Belichick is. As far as college football goes, I don't know how much adjusting you do during a game. Like the coordinators do, but it just feels like it's Belichick. I mean, he's known for this. You know, opposing coaches talk about and marvel that Belichick will do something first quarter that's different from the second quarter, that's different from the third quarter. You know, he just has that ability to find something and then he's waiting to unleash it on you. Or the adjustment at halftime. I mean, that's the brilliance. When you do it in the moment, as opposed to you got a week to prepare for somebody, you know, that's altered the NFL's history because of Belichick's ability to adjust during big games. Yeah, Paul.
You asked Rodney Harrison, the former Patriot, what happens at halftime. He said, Dan, it's 11 minutes. He goes, the defensive captain and the offensive captain go to their coordinators. They tell them something, one big chunk of information. They run that up to Belichick, and they sit for 2 or 3 minutes together, and it flows back down to the players, and it all happens in 11 minutes.
This program is brought to you by NBC Sports, the Breeders' Cup World Championships, November 6th and 7th. The world's best thoroughbreds compete in 14 exhilarating races at the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Learn more at breederscup.com/2020 and catch all the action live on NBC Sports. Anything else, McLovin?
Okay, who do you got, Braves or Dodgers? And if we put that poll up, which way are people voting?
It's going to be Dodgers today.
I know, they're leading 1-2 in the series.
Yeah. I did the math here. The Dodgers' 15 runs are the most that any team has ever scored during the first three innings of a postseason game. If you combine the first three innings last night, the final three innings of game two, the Braves have allowed 22 runs over a six-inning span. That compared to 6 runs total in their other 70 innings this postseason.
Stat of the day, stat
Boom.
Of the day,
that
stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
And somebody said to me last night, is there a mercy rule? Should there be a mercy rule? And I said, no. Why would you have a mercy rule? If I'm the Dodgers and I'm Dave Roberts, I want you to use up your bullpen. I mean, imagine if you go, hey, after 5 innings, if you're up by more than 11 runs, then there's a mercy rule. And I thought, no, that's silly. I mean, we have some new rules in baseball this year, like extra innings. You started second base. But I want you using up your bullpen. And that's what Dave Roberts wanted to do. I'm swinging for the fences. There's no margin where I go, you know what? We're not going to go for any more hits. No more home runs. You got to tax that bullpen. Because now things line up really well for the Dodgers. Because Clayton Kershaw is pitching maybe the biggest game of his life. Certainly, you know, in the top 5. Because if he wins Walker Buehler, then it sets up nicely for the Dodgers. And the Dodgers, by the way, are now back to being favorites in the National League. A slight favorite. That's all it took is 11 runs in the first inning. Yes, McLovin.
I saw a lot of Twitter baseball writers complaining that the Dodgers pitchers were like nibbling at the corners, and like in the back old school baseball, it's an unwritten rule that you throw fastballs when you're up by 10 runs, and that they weren't doing that. Like the Buster Olneys of the world were saying, why are these pitchers like pitching as if it's a close game? Don't you, when you're up, throw fastballs, you don't steal bases, you just try and get it through it.
Okay, but if they can score 11, can the Braves score 11? Like I like how we go, hey, you guys ease up here. Meanwhile, these guys are trying their best to hit home runs, you know, score runs. They want to tax your pitcher. But if you say, hey, we promise not to come back, we'll throw strikes. Yes, Tony.
And if you're up 30-3 in the NFL, you're going to just play a prevent defense the whole rest of the way and just give up 10, 20 yards on every play?
Yeah, you're going to, you know, I want to put, although I will say, we always look at, oh, that momentum going into the next game. Keep in mind what happened in the Yankees and the Red Sox in the ALCS. The Yankees blew out the Red Sox in a game that it was something like 15-2. And we thought, oh my God, they're just killing the Red Sox. And it didn't matter. It was one game. Go back to the Pirates and the Yankees in the 1960 World Series. Pirates won all their games by like one run. The Yankees dominated. When they won, they won their three games. They dominated. Pirates just held on to win. And that's, you know, momentum is your next day's starter. That's really what this comes down to. Yes, Eden.
That game you're talking about, Yankees Red Sox, was 19-8.
Oh.
19-8.
Oh. I should know that. I was there. I forgot all. Like, after a while, you're like, is it over yet? Is it over yet? Yeah, Paulie.
Was it 04 ALCS? Somebody won 15-2, game three, I think it was. Was it Yankees beat the Red Sox 15-2 or something?
Wasn't there a Blue Jays-Phillies game that the Blue Jays, there was a blowout in one of those games. But I've seen this with basketball before, where you go, oh, they blew them out game one. And then, yeah, Paulie.
Game three of the 04 ALCS. Game three, Yankees won 19-8.
Yeah.
Is there an echo in here?
No, that's what Seton just said.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about the one back in the 80s one that you were talking about.
What the hell are you talking about?
I thought you were talking about the earlier Dodgers.
Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, there was a huge Blue Jays, a couple huge scoring games for the Blue Jays, 15-14 and 10-3.
I thought you were talking about one that before that.
We just did like 3 minutes on that.
We just talked about that.
I know. What is the 15-2 one I'm thinking about? There was a game that was 15-2.
Oh, wait, was that the 04 ALCS?
I don't know. Check with Paul.
19-8.
I think that's the Yankees Red Sox.
The anesthesia talking.
The anesthesia. Paulie gets out of his colonoscopy, and all of a sudden he sends a text. It's two pictures of some chorizo tacos.
Hey, get back on the horse.
Yikes. Yeah. Yikes. Look out below.
Yeah, the colon got a day off. It's back to business.
All right. David Pollack will join us. We'll talk to him about Florida LSU postponed. What does he think Nick Saban is going to do on game day? What's he allowed to do? How much communication can you have? And it's 90 minutes prior to kickoff. Who's going to know if he is communicating? I'm curious about that. All right, we'll talk some football. We'll talk some Dodger baseball as they rough up the Braves. And now Clayton Kershaw with the Braves and the Dodgers coming up tonight. Astros in the race. Altuve had no issues fielding the ball. He said that's in the past now. He's moved on. No issues there. No yips. And I guess everything is good there. No NFL tonight. Derrick Henry a little bit later on in the program. We'll take a break here. 19 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Pure Talk. You know, sometimes say, oh, you're all talk. Pure Talk is more than talk. They walk the walk. They talk the talk. And they're going to save you at least $400 a year. That's what the average person is saving when they switch over to Pure Talk USA. The big carriers hook you in because they have you pay for unlimited data for your cell phone when you're only using 2 gigs. Why? AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, they charge you obscene monthly fees for data that you never need and perks you'll never use. And if you switch to Pure Talk USA, they only charge you for the data you need. They're on the exact same towers, so you get the same coverage, same great coverage at half the cost. Unlimited talk, text, 2 gigs of data, $20 a month. You can do this, and it's really simple from your cell phone. You can dial #250 and then when they answer, you say, Dan Patrick, you save 50% off your first month right away. So it's #250, and then you say, Dan Patrick, you'll have the option to receive a one-time auto-dialed text message from Pure Talk USA. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. If you miss any interviews, any day, Dan Patrick Show, go to danpatrick.com. Also, while you're there, we got some great merchandise, a couple Laker t-shirts, including a LeBron James t-shirt, and you can go to danpatrick.com to order. We'll get to phone calls coming up. Did we decide on a poll question before we bring in David Pollack from the Mothership?
Let's start with that question. Which coach is most important on game day? NFL, college football, NBA, or MLB?
David Pollack and the College Game Day crew will be live from Tuscaloosa this weekend at 9 a.m. on ESPN. Let me start with the role of the head coach. With Nick Saban not there, David, how important is it having your head coach there, the role that he plays on game day as opposed to what happens during the week?
Not every head coach is made the same, first of all, which is important to know. But Nick Saban is Mr. Detail. Everything runs through Nick Saban. Like coin toss, Dan, who's going out there? Which side they're going to defend? Two-point plays. By the way, warm-ups, he's looking at kickers on the hash. Like he made it from X. He ran this play from there. I mean, he's literally as involved as any coach in all of college football. So to answer your poll question, I literally would put Nick Saban at the top of that list. So them not having that, and that's just from a schematic standpoint, right? I'm not even talking about from a motivation standpoint. You've seen him get after his guys, and his guys know, like, you better show up and you better do your job. Now, you know, dad's not over your shoulder over there looking at you. It allows you to relax a little bit, maybe not play as energetic and maybe not be as tense. And by the way, he also puts his coaches on notice. All those dudes know they better bring it too. So this is a huge loss, man. It's not just a game manager. This isn't Bobby Bowden that oversaw everything late in his career or Joe Pa. This is a guy that's everything in that building goes through Nick Saban.
Can you imagine Saban at home during this game?
Dude, no way. No, he ain't going to be at home, by the way. I'm telling you, we need to have a contest. Whoever finds him in the stadium, in the box, on the sidelines, like the fine Nick Saban game. He's so controlling and he's got his hand on everything. I just can't. And the rules stipulate, by the way, that he can't have any communication with them. So he can't go back and forth. Now, listen, it doesn't say anything about text message, but he can't have a phone conversation and have a direct line or direct contact. And I don't see it happening, Dan. He's going to find a way to make that happen.
Do you think he's going to be in communication with somebody on the sidelines during the game?
Yes. I think, listen, it doesn't say anything about text message in the bylaws. So I think he can text, but, you know, I still think it's, think about this game and how it was decided the last two times Georgia faced Alabama. Alabama put in backup quarterbacks. Nick Saban had to make that call on the sidelines. You got to look in people's eyes and make that call. So, yeah, he's going to have more trust than he ever has. Sarkisian, obviously, has been a head coach in the past, so he's kind of got some experience. But I think Nick will find a way to make sure that he's got his hands on everything and he's making calls and he's trying to put his team in the best position to succeed. But I think it's going to be difficult because the rules state you can't. But – it's the SEC. I mean, the rules are kind of optional down south, bro.
And speaking from experience, having played in the SEC.
Yes, 100%. Rules don't always apply. I mean, it's not always a game.
But if Georgia's going to get him, this is like you're running out of excuses here, David.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Here's the thing. Even if Georgia wins, you know, Nick's assist, he's undefeated against all of his assistants. Does this count? Like, Nick wasn't there. So it really doesn't matter. You know, it's interesting, too, for the playoff picture, Dan, because this game really doesn't matter. As long as this is a close game and neither team gets boat raced, you're still very much in the playoff picture. You still got a rematch in December, probably the way things are looking, where you can go at it again and both those teams will be alive. But no, if you're a Georgia fan, you're like, all right, well, how much? I had Georgia fans, obviously, I went to University of Georgia fans texting me, well, wait a minute. He was close to his defense all weekend. Do we need to quarantine them? And so I think if you're Georgia, you're definitely like, wait a minute, if it's going to happen, this has to be the year.
Well, also, I think we have to keep an eye out on more positive tests at Alabama because Coach Saban's one of those, I'm on the field, I'm involved with the players here and with other coaches. So I don't know if they're tested today. How many times are you tested during the course of a week during the season?
Every school is different, but Alabama's testing every day.
Okay.
So, and so here's the thing, by the way, they're the only two, you know, the AD and Nick Saban are the two that tested positive, no players. But it could be a false positive. What if it comes back today and it's not positive? And we just had 24 hours of madness and craziness and now Nick's going to be back at practice and things could be back to normal. So here's the thing. If you're not all coaches across college football, Dan, they read Nick Saban's books and they read all these books of these coaches and how they think and formulate. Well, this year isn't about that. This year, you better be able to adapt. You better be able to improvise. You better be able to come up with some stuff on the fly on your own. You better be practicing people at multiple positions, and you better have plans for when coaches aren't there. I mean, you saw it with Mike Norvell from Florida State. He didn't get to coach the game. You saw Virginia Tech's defensive coordinator last 2 weeks didn't get to be at the game. You better be able to adapt and improvise this year more than ever.
He's David Pollack, former NFL player. And when are you going into the College Football Hall of Fame?
Well, it was supposed to be this year, but they're not doing the induction ceremony because of all the stuff that's going on. So I think next year they ran out of people to put in, so they're going to put me in next year.
No, stop it. What are you benching these days? Can you bench more than Fowler?
100%. Yes. Come on, bro.
I don't know.
I better be able to. Listen, I know Fowler swole, but I mean, if I can't bench more than Fowler, I think I would have problems. But I don't throw around the heavyweight anymore, Dan. I don't need that stuff anymore. I'm good. More of a reps guy. We're done with that.
Fowler is filling the sleeves, man.
He's strong. He's stout. He's always taking pride in that. You know, he's got to look good in that suit, man. He's got to fill that puppy out.
Is North Carolina for real?
Well, I mean, you watch their offense and you go, yeah, they just dropped 50 on Virginia Tech, even though half of Virginia Tech's defense wasn't there. But their defense gave up 40. So I think they're a team that is – they found their quarterback. They got a lot of skill. They've got a really good offense. But they're not a team that's recruited an elite level for a bunch of years. So they're really good, but I don't think they're on the level of Clemson's and these playoff teams that have been recruited at a high level for a long time.
But they don't play Clemson this year.
Well, they might play them in the ACC championship game.
But they got Notre Dame.
They got Notre Dame. And listen, Notre Dame's in a position where Notre Dame's recruited better and been better for longer. So I think Notre Dame's a team that could obviously get them too. But I'm interested to see the ACC with Notre Dame. And we say, you know what Clemson did last week, right? Miami's like, hey, Miami's coming, Miami's coming. Clemson's like, shut up, sit down. Like, we're not ready to hear from you. So it's going to be interesting. Hopefully Notre Dame will give – you know, Clemson a game, and we'll start to see them get challenged at some point. Because right now it's the ACC. It's kind of like Clemson, okay, then you just push people in the face and tell them to shut up and sit down.
Yeah, and I'm going to guess if Notre Dame played Clemson now, I think they play in 2 or 3 weeks, Clemson's probably going to be close to a 2-touchdown favorite.
Yeah.
Double-digit favorite, I'm going to guess.
Yeah, and Notre Dame had a game and then 3 weeks off, and so they're still kind of finding themselves with new weapons. But I tell you what, their offensive line, Notre Dame, is one of the best in the country. And Ian Book has a lot of experience, so you would hope they would make some plays. But I also said that about De'Aaron King in Miami, that they were going to make some plays, and Brent Venables and that Clemson defense, just next guy up, next freak up, next five-star, putting them in there, and they look pretty daggum good.
What would your philosophy be if you're a Big Ten school or a Pac-12 school to try to impress the voters?
Just play and try to win as much as you can. But here's the thing. We're seeing games getting canceled this week. So remember, the Big Ten has 10 consecutive games in a row. So is that going to happen? I mean, you're not going to have – I don't think you're going to get through Corona without having something come up, and maybe that's 2 weeks of your season. The Pac-12 has 7 games consecutive. So, listen, this is a year that's – it's crazy enough as it is. Just play really good football. Maybe you got a chance, but I don't understand why the expansion conversation isn't more. I get pissed every week. We talk about – I'm going to bring it up to Reese every week on game day. He's going to ignore me every single week. But in the year of 2020, why the heck would we not expand the playoffs? We don't know as much about the teams. We don't have as much information. We didn't have as much spring ball and fall practice. So, let's expand it. Get a few more teams in there, because now we know we got it right and the best team's going to win.
But I'm with you on that, David, because especially this year where you need to raise money, you need to make money because you have athletic departments that have been really decimated here. And if you could add 4 more schools to this, I know we always look at the integrity of the bowl games. Well, you can still have bowl games here, but if you're not going to have fans, we don't worry about filling the stadiums of these bowl games. You could still have the Fiesta Bowl as part of, you know, the playoff process here. There just wouldn't be fans because we were worried about, well, how many games can fans go to during normal times? But, man, expanding it to at least 8 this year, I think this is a – I think these college athletic departments need it.
It's the perfect year. It's the perfect storm. And listen, we're not saying we have to keep it that way.
No.
But in a year where everything's changing and everything's been so crazy, why not expand it a little bit and get more teams in there? And it makes everything, yeah, raise more money, more TV rights. Yeah. So our company won't buy more of that. Yes, please. I mean, and put it on air, like more advertising dollars, like more, find a way to make more
why
money.
Why is Reese Davis not giving you the platform you deserve? Who is Reese Davis?
Reese, by God.
And he's
Davis,
an Arkansas guy, so he doesn't know anything about football.
Reese is the man, though. So I and by the way, he's my point guard, Dan. So I don't get touches unless I make sure I keep my point guard happy. So I can't slam Reese.
Now he's an Arkansas guy, right?
He's an Alabama guy.
Oh,
Russell
he is.
Shoals. Yeah.
Oh,
he graduated from University of Alabama.
Oh, he did.
Wow. Yeah.
He probably wants a two-team playoff every year.
Alabama and
why did I think Reese was an Arkansas? I apologize to Reese. Man, that's I really insulted him there. Forgot that he went to Alabama. You know what? But back then with Reese, they weren't winning, so Reese didn't talk about Alabama back then.
No, he didn't.
The Mike Shula years, he didn't bring up. I never heard from Reese back then.
Nope. Now, but the last 10 years, I've had to hear from him. So you got out at the right time.
David, safe travels there to Tuscaloosa. Game day will be there coming up this weekend. Great to talk to you again. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Dan.
That's David Pollack. The College Game Day crew will be in Tuscaloosa this weekend starting at 9 a.m. Eastern. I apologize to Reese Davis. All these years, I thought he was an Arkansas guy. Yes, Pollack.
A bunch of years ago, a few guys from ESPN, we got free tickets to go see, like, I think it's Boston College hosting Virginia Tech on Thursday night. Nice game up in Chestnut Hill, you know, but they hold about 38,000. Mm. I happen to be sitting next to Reese Davis. He's just one of the guys who happened to sit next to him. I go, isn't this great? He goes, yeah, it's nice. It's a nice little setting. I can remember, I was like, oh, yeah, it's not Alabama. He kept saying, this is a nice little setting. He kept saying, nice little setting.
Yeah. Well, I'd probably feel the same way, having gone to Ohio State games. And then if you went to a school that had a smaller facility, you'd probably go, oh, yeah, nice little setting here. Because you guys were blown away when we walked in to the horseshoe. When we walked into that stadium in Columbus for Ohio State, Michigan.
It's endless. The rows seem to go on forever.
And it was just one of those where you went, wow. Like you don't really understand big-time college football until you're actually on campus for big-time college football. And you know, you take over. We got in on Friday in town, maybe Thursday. Because we did the show on Friday. And it was chaos. They brought in the marching band during the show. The Buckeyes marching band came in to where we were. We're in a bar. We couldn't hear it all. It was probably horrible radio. And I was working with Rob Dibble at the time. And the former Nasty Boy of the Cincinnati Reds was getting an Archie Griffin number 45 tattoo, I think, during the show.
Dibble?
Yeah.
Yeah, on his calf.
Yeah.
Live on radio.
Radio, yeah. It was one of those, when I left in that morning, my ears were ringing for hours. And I, as soon as we got done with our show, I said, give me a Bloody Mary, because I need it. It was just chaos. Just chaos.
I remember you were wearing like an Andy Katzenmoyer jersey.
No,
you did. You had like a 40.
I
think you did.
Yeah. I think I eventually put on an Andy Katzenmoyer. I think somebody gave me, I asked for an Andy Katzenmoyer jersey.
That was a good time.
Oh, it was such bad radio.
I think the Thursday night when we got into town was the night of Malice at the Palace.
Yes, it was. Yeah. We were standing at the end of a bar and we were in Columbus and I look up and then I'm thinking, what game is this? And you don't hear the sound in a bar. And I just see Ron Artest going into the stands. And it was one of those moments where you go, okay, like I started thinking, like, what would I be doing as a radio host? And what, you know, how do we cover this? And it was just, you know, one of those surreal moments there. But Ohio State, Michigan, Auburn, Alabama, we've seen. I've been to games at Georgia, been to games at the Rose Bowl. I'm trying to think. Best atmosphere I think I ever had. You can't go wrong with an SEC game. But when we were there, when Cam Newton was at Auburn, that was a whole lot of fun. Because we didn't even know that Cam was going to play that game. And then all of a sudden you get word that he's going to play. Bo Jackson was there. We got to see Bo. Yeah, Paul.
It was Auburn, Georgia. And NCAA had sat Cam down for the week during the investigation.
Yeah.
and the eagle is flying around the Auburn Stadium.
War eagle.
And then all of a sudden, Cam comes out of the locker room by himself before the rest of the team and starts whooping up the crowd. That was intense.
Yes, Todd.
Where do you rank the Swamp and Baton Rouge in that group?
I have not been to a game at LSU. I've been to Florida. LSU at night was always on my bucket list because it always felt like LSU at night, you weren't going to beat them in Baton Rouge. Trying to think, you know, been to USC games, been to Notre Dame games. Trying to think I actually wanted to do this. And, you know, I didn't actually convince my wife, but she at least listened to me where I said, you know, I'd love to go into the Pac-12 and see like Washington State, Oregon State. Cause you're always accused of East Coast bias, but I grew up in the Midwest, but just understanding, you know, these other rivalries and seeing how these college towns embrace these games, you know, cause I got spoiled with Ohio State and Michigan or Notre Dame and USC. But the SEC, you never get cheated. ACC, I'm trying to think if I haven't been to Clemson before for a football game. McLovin, you went to Clemson.
Yeah, it's crazy. When they run out on the field past the rock or whatever, intense.
And you went to Oregon as well.
We all went to Oregon, didn't we? Yeah, we... Oh, okay. I thought... when we were in Eugene, remember we went the whole show, did Portland-Eugene trip? We didn't go to a game then?
No.
Oh.
I went to Portland.
We did a show in Portland.
We saw the Timbers soccer team. I know
that. Oh, okay. Yeah, anyway, Oregon's amazing. But the stadium is like a giant Nike factory.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. And then Oregon's football team is basically a catalog for Nike.
LeBron and Chris Paul were on the sideline at the game, too, that I was at, which is not a rare occurrence, apparently. They go to one Oregon game a year.
Well, they probably go up to Nike, and then, you know, they say, hey, would you come down on the sideline? Hey, we'll fly you here. You know.
That's a good recruiting tool to have LeBron on the sideline.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play's going to play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
They're going to play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
2-1. And Springer drives this one pretty deep to left field. Ball is hooking. If it stays fair, it's gone, and it's gone. A home run for Springer, and the Astros are on top. Springer's first home run of the ALCS and his third this postseason.
Play of the day, brought to you by Fox Sports Radio affiliate KBME, the Astros Radio Network. Game 5 later on this afternoon. Play of the day brought to you by Traeger Grills. TraegerGrills.com/DP Show. You can get the wood pellet grill, Wi-Fi connected convenience, the real wood fired flavor. That's the difference with it. Keeps everything moist in there. Can't screw it up. There's recipes to download step by step. TraegerGrills.com/DP Show. Check it out today. Started the show by telling you a tweet from Adam Schefter. Falcons had 4 positive tests this morning, according to sources. Here's an update. An NFL official just said that one member of the Falcons personnel staff had a positive test, and it's not a player. We'll keep an eye on this. Feels like it's ever evolving. And you got the Falcons and the Vikings coming up this weekend. Just got word from a source. No positive tests with Alabama today. There's more concern about the coaches than the players at Alabama for this game against Georgia. But as David Pollack just pointed out, they get tested every single day. I was curious with those coming in contact with Coach Saban, other coaches testing positive here. And I don't know what would bring about a postponement of this game, but if a coaching staff would happen to be wiped out or have to be quarantined, I don't know. We've never, you know, this is all new. Every single week, it's something new. Florida LSU has been postponed as well. But the SEC, like the NFL, expected this to happen. That's why they built in bye weeks, just to be able to kind of dump a game off or 2 games off here and be able to get all these games in. You know, the NFL is doing away with the Pro Bowl this year, which is fine with me. But they're trying to build in maybe an extra week or two where, and we're only in, you know, week 5 going into week 6. We got a lot of weeks left here. A lot of football left. And as teams get out of the playoff chase, are guys going to get a little more careless here? Now that's what I was told starting the season. Wait until you get to around week 12, 13, 14. And are these players going to be as regimented as they were, you know, at the start of the season? Yeah, Paulie.
And the NFL announced that this year's Pro Bowl rosters will be named, but no game will be played. Instead, the game will be replaced by a variety of engaging activities, quote. A variety of an engaging activities. I smell a segment, Dan. What should go in place of the Pro Bowl?
I'm fine with nothing.
Oh, no.
But the engaging. So it's not a variety of activities. It's a variety of engaging activities. Dodgeball, we going to do that one again?
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. How about swimming and diving?
Tug of war?
Croquet. Yes, Todd.
Like the baseball dunk, you know, like the old days of the Battle of the Network Stars. Just have them sit there and then you could just knock, hit the target and knock them into the water.
In a dunk tank?
Why not?
Yeah. How about lineman throw and a quarterback stays in the dunk tank?
I love it.
Yeah. Yes, Paul.
Know your long snappers. They bend over, and just by their behind, can you name which long snapper is which? It's a niche.
No. How about know your center, and then you have quarterbacks that have to put their hands under there and be able to find their center.
There you go. That's good TV.
Find the center of your universe.
Most jacked ref contest. Ooh. Like all the refs just...
They had their shirts off. They get oiled up. Pose off. Yes, Todd.
You could have Jay Feely host that segment where you got to decide who's the guy that's snapping the ball to you.
Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Al in Atlanta. Hey, Al.
Hey, Dan. How you guys doing today?
I'm great. Right. Oh, the Braves just gave up another run.
Oh, yeah. We know that's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here, hear me out, Dan. I'm trying to stay positive, as you know.
Well, yeah.
But I swear the sports world is stacked against me. The Dodgers put up a record-setting 11 runs in half an inning, making today and tomorrow some of the most stressful baseball days. Saturday, wake up the morning, start it with the Merseyside Derby, angry Liverpool, after a 7-2 loss to Aston Villa, sitting for 2 weeks. Then I got Georgia, Alabama. Alabama's going to be hype, hashtag win one for Nick. Then, of course, Sunday, you know, we don't even worry about Sunday. Atlanta United, Falcons, we know that's stressful. But then Monday, Kansas City Chiefs, going against the Bills, it's like the world doesn't want me to relax.
Take a deep breath, Al, and maybe move out of Atlanta. Thank you. I'll get to more phone calls coming up here. McLovin, what's the poll question that we settled on?
Which coach has the biggest impact on game day? College football is actually running away with it. Then MLB, then NFL, then NBA, which can't be true.
Well, not baseball.
I don't know why.
Don't you have to just fill out a lineup and that's it? And then bring lefty in against lefty?
The thing with NBA, everyone thinks LeBron is the coach of his team, so that gets confusing too.
Yeah, I still think, well, college because they're able to control more. But I still think the person who is most valuable on game day is Bill Belichick. I don't think it's even close. Derrick Henry a little bit later on. 1 hour in the books, two more to go here on the Dan Patrick Show.